Are you ready, Alabama?
All the band is out on the field!
The band is leaving the field.
And one time, at band camp,
loved the drum.
Man, I do love my drum.
If you say that's what she said one more time, I'm going to pop you.
You're welcome to join the doghouse.
Oh, God. I'm so sorry. I keep doing that.
Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867.
Be a dog.
The clock starts on my whistle.
How you doing?
It's time for the second half of the Tom Abraham Show. Here he is, the head of the household. Here's drum major Big Dog. It's Tom Abraham.
We strong.
You all may be taking the week off, hype this week, but I'm not.
To the question of whether or not Tony Mack can create different email aliases so he can enter multiple brackets, the answer is no. Okay? No. No multiple brackets under different aliases. That's the same. You got to be true. Got to be true to yourself.
Buzz kill.
Don't be doing that. You don't do multiple brackets, and you don't be different people so that you can do multiple brackets. That's just not right. All right, joining us now. Guy that had just too much fun in St. Louis. Or was it Nashville? That's just wrong. Our friend Chris Stewart is on the Woody Anderson Ford VIP hotline. Chris, welcome in. How are you?
I only screwed it up once. Give me some credit.
And I was listening. And I was listening when you did it, too.
blue seats. You go to the same spot. You know, three straight years. You got blue seats. You're not at home. It all runs together, brother. You know how that works.
I tell you, you made a new fan of your broadcasting. Though I was running around on Saturday in Tullahoma, Tennessee, which is just north of where I live and where my son, who went to Alabama, and I think you know, is now the general manager of a cluster of radio stations there. And he, through some just stroke of genius, apparently it got Alabama on his stations there. So they're the Alabama affiliate in Tullahoma, Tennessee. So I was listening. He's got Alabama on one station and Tennessee on the other. So he's got everything covered there. But so I'm listening. Yeah, that's pretty good. So I was listening to you, and my wife was in the car. We were going to the Lowe's. And she said, "Is that the Chris Stewart that always comes and sits down with you at SEC Media Days?" And I said, "Yeah." She goes, "I always wondered what he sounded like doing a game." So at least my wife finally got to hear you doing a game.
And we'll see if she speaks to me the next time we all run into each other.
Yeah, she says, Alabama's not doing very good, are they? And, of course, that was the Kentucky game, which I was recording, but I still was listening to it. I will say this. I did not bother to watch when I got back. I did not bother to watch the recording. But, boy, we sure had a whole lot of fun. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it wasn't quite as bad to watch as you might think. It was, Kentucky had built that lead, and Alabama made it rather interesting getting it to 9 with about 6 minutes to go. And then Wiggy and Gabriel just kept doing what he'd been doing all day and made another 3, and that kind of ended the rally. But it went from 19-9 pretty quick, and kind of felt like, all right, it's a game again, but he made sure that wasn't the case.
Yeah, I got back in front of the TV with about 11 minutes to go in the game, so I saw those two runs where it looked like, you know, maybe are they going to do something here, but look, I mean, you know, no disrespect. I mean, Kentucky, it's still Kentucky's world when it comes to that SEC tournament, man, and until somebody takes them out of it, it's going to be that way. It's just the way Big Blue rolls, you know. I mean, they get such great support. And it was obviously a lot closer for everybody but Missouri fans probably to be there. And, they showed it on Sunday too.
Yeah, they turned out in big numbers. But it was, I was a deal where I felt like Alabama was playing with house money by the time we got to Saturday. They had done what they needed to do. And the reality is, without Dante Hall available, that was, no pun intended, going to be a very tall order. For Alabama against the Cats. So I wasn't shocked by the result, disappointed, but not at all shocked, but felt very comfortable when we got on the plane that I'd be getting on one again very soon, and that'll be the case here probably in about 24 hours.
Yeah, and that obviously sets up the next thought. I wasn't 1,000% sure after the A&M game. I know there was all this chatter about 99% and everything else, but that was without the next game being played. You still had to play that game against Auburn, and I was afraid that with a loss to Auburn, it might fall back to 50-50 or 60-40 type of proposition. I thought it was clear after the Auburn game, but I will say this, and you know, you're doing a game, so you didn't hear the TV. Man, Dick Vitale was making a case after case after case about how any team that does not have a 500 record in its own conference should automatically be disqualified from the tournament. I thought he was very, very harsh, and it was a little disturbing because you wonder how much anybody's paying attention to that.
Yeah, Dick's a guy who's had a nice career, but while I have a lot of respect for him, that type of argument is ludicrous because not all leagues are created the same and not all seasons are the same. Mm-hmm. You know, he's entitled to his opinion. I just don't agree with it.
Yeah, no, I thought that it was wrong. And then the 10 seed, so it comes up with a 10 seed. And by the way, the calls at the end of both the both games, especially at the end of the A&M game, kudos to you. I played that all throughout the game. I thought that was a great, great call, what Colin Sexton did there. But what Colin Sexton did in the Auburn game, and I was at Baumhauer's in Hoover broadcasting that day. I was doing my show right after the game. And, what a better – you couldn't ask for a better place for an Alabama-Auburn game to be at Baumhauer's in Hoover at the Victory Grill doing it there. But what an atmosphere, and what a stunning turnaround. And it was weird the way the crowd was acting at the restaurant, because it was a 30-point swing, and everybody was just kind of looking at each other dumbfounded, both Auburn fan and Alabama fan. It was kind of weird, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure it was. Tom, I apologize. I'm having a real tough time hearing you. I don't know if there's anything your producer can do with that, but kind of tough hearing you on your end. But the Auburn game was incredible in terms of the swing itself, and Auburn had things going its way, and you always know those first 5 minutes of the second half are going to play a major role. But it was an unbelievable job that Alabama did defensively on the Tigers, and then to finally make some shots themselves. It was great to see them put that kind of pressure on and play at the level they did.
Virginia Tech. What do you know about Virginia Tech and their early preparation for that game on Thursday? Obviously going to be a tough game with a tough team out of the ACC in Pittsburgh. But what can you tell us about Virginia Tech?
Yeah, veteran group. They were in the tournament last year. Five starters, all average double figures offensively. They've had a veteran group in the backcourt, which is obviously big this time of year, and very balanced. Like I said, five in double figures, but they've had five different guys that have scored 20 or more in a game and been the leading scorer for a particular contest out of the, I guess it's 17 games I counted where they had the leading scorer for them score 20 or more. So when you do that and it's five different guys putting it together, that's pretty special. So Alabama's got its work cut out. You know, 8-9s are always tough, but especially I think this one because you're facing such a veteran group that's been there, and they've got a real, real bad taste in their mouths. They had a 21-point second-half lead in the ACC tournament against Notre Dame, and they let it get away, wound up losing that game to the Irish. So they don't like how things finished their last two games, lost to Duke in the regular season finale and then lost, like I said, to Georgia Tech. So they're not in a real good mood right now.
Yeah, the toughest part of an 8-9.
Georgia Tech, forgive me, not Georgia Tech. I'm sorry, lost to Notre Dame in that last ball game.
Right. And I think that, 8-9 games are brutal a lot of times because what lays ahead, which is a 1. And but you can't look at that, right? I mean, you see, this is really a one game at a time type of deal. You pack the dark uniforms and you go, and and whatever happens, happens. It would be what a great opportunity it would be to be able to play Villanova, the defending champion, in the second round.
You know, it really would be. And, you know, it's a case where the last time Alabama made a run in the tournament, they had to do that. They were the 8 playing the 9, and Southern Illinois beat them and then beat Stanford the next day or 2 days later to get to the Sweet 16, where they ultimately beat Syracuse and lost to oh gosh, I'm drawing a total blank, and I shouldn't have done that. But they lost to UConn for a chance right. to go to the Final Four. But it it's not an unfamiliar path for the Alabama program, even though all of this is brand new, clearly, for these guys.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And to that point, I mean, we all know that Colin Sexton, he made himself an awful lot of money on, over this past week at the tournament. There's no question. We all expect him to be a lottery pick and to be gone. But this team is so young, and all the rest of those guys you would suspect are going to be back. I mean, you don't like to look to the future too soon, but it kind of makes you look to the future and say, boy, this is just the tip of the iceberg, maybe.
Well, he's done a great job of building the program. You know, as you well know, there's the difference in building a team and having a good season and having a program that's on very solid footing. And this is about as solid as I've seen Alabama men's basketball in a long, long time. With the things you've already pointed out and what lies ahead with recruiting for the future. So they feel very good about the fact that, you know, this is the start of something. It's not a one-year type of deal. For this particular team, where, you know, you're at the point where youth is not the same thing it was even a month ago or 2 weeks ago. These guys have been through the wars, so to speak. But also, I think what's been the biggest challenge for this group, Tom, is the fact that they haven't been able to keep everybody healthy at one time to build, you know, the type of chemistry and cohesion you'd like to see. It's been, you know, once you get one wheel put back on, another one falls off. And I think that's had as much to do with the inconsistency as anything else. But if you get Dante back for this week, which I haven't heard anything new on his status since Avery addressed it yesterday or this morning, I guess, on the teleconference. You get him back, you're getting an extremely important piece of the puzzle back, but I think you've got the other guys who are feeling pretty good about where they are and what they can do over the next, hopefully, 2 to 3 weeks.
Well, it surely was a lot of fun coming out of St. Louis, and let's see what happens. It's just neat to be involved in this thing, and it's neat to have, you know, 8 SEC teams involved in this deal. How quickly this league has turned around. I know there's a lot of league pride, but it's going to be great to see and listen on Thursday as the Tide takes on Va Tech and tries to get a win in the big tournament and then see where that goes. So, Chris, we're loving it. We're enjoying it. We're listening to you. We're taking the highlights. And, pretty good little baseball team, too. You got that to look forward to when all the dust settles on his hoop season.
Yeah, the only downside is I can't be two places at once, as we learn on that football-basketball overlap. But excited about what's going on with Brad Bohannon's team as well. You're exactly right. Hard to believe that conference play starts this weekend when Georgia comes to town.
Yeah, no, absolutely. All right, man, appreciate you as always, and have a good trip to Pittsburgh.
Thanks so much. Take care.
All right. Thank you. By the way, speaking of Brad Bohannon, did I miss something, T-Mac? Did he ever get back to you? We're supposed to be talking to him sometime. I thought this week, maybe next week, maybe the week after that.
Yeah, his guy, now that you mention it, his guy never got back with me, so I'll hit him up here in just a second and see where that's at. We were supposed
push it forward because we got a short week this week and we're jammed, but yeah. You know, try and push it forward a little bit. That would be good, though, to talk to them about what's going on there with baseball.
You got it, big dog.
All right, man. All right. You're not doing multiple aliases, though, right?
Not now.
I've got ours. You're not going to do multiple aliases. You're not doing multiple aliases in general, do you?
No.
You're not one of those guys, are you?
No. And I don't even think me and my friends this year, they haven't gotten back to me. I have two different groups of guys that, you know, I normally join up with, and The first one is going to be the one that I put one bracket in, like I always do. It's going to be that is going to be the bracket I throw in, you know, the CBS deal, the ESPN deal, all that stuff to try to win the big money. And the only other time I ever make multiple brackets to try to win money off my friends is when we make one for a pool and I try to be strategic and pick ways to weasel them out of money. But I don't think they're going to do that this year. So I'm going to be stuck with the one bracket.
Have you entered our deal yet?
No, I meant to ask you if there was a group yet or if I needed to create it or if we're going to throw in the same one
as last
year.
You're not listening to the show, are you? I knew you weren't listening to the show.
Been having,
instead of reading the open. But for you, for T-Mac and for everybody else that's listening out there, if you want to get into the Ump Bracket Challenge, the link to it is right there at the Ump Facebook fan page. It's also at the Tom Abraham Show Facebook fan page. And it's under the Ump. Is is that an homage to me? I don't know. It's called Dom is the group, and you can get in now. And our winners are going to win not only a foursome at Canebrake, which is like a $400 value for you golfers out there, but also a pair of tickets each to the Friday night truck race, the Saturday Xfinity race, and the Sunday Cup race at Talladega, and tickets to a upcoming Huntsville Havoc playoff game.
Now,
so we've got a pretty good little deal there for you, and I'm at it right now. I need to join. I got to see what I'm supposed to do to join. But maybe I have joined. Have I joined? Did I just join?
Oh, this isn't going to be like the pick 'em again, the football picks, is it? Am I going to have to log in and make sure you're in?
No. Oh, there's a lot of people in already.
That's good.
Pretty decent amount of people in there.
I remember hearing you announcing the prizes earlier. Now, what came before that, I missed because I was looking for the Manouche, which I did find, by the way, so it was a good effort. I did find it.
I think I just joined.
You think? All right, well, I'm going to throw mine in there.
Would I have to be?
On my way to throw mine in there, I'll check. I'll stop by. I'll read some. I'll read all the names and make sure you're in there.
My name isn't in here. Danny T's title defense is in there, which Danny T won last year, but he tied with my wife. So that's all you have to know about that. I mean, on the one hand, Danny T won the thing. On the other hand, my wife tied him for the win, you know. So, I mean, there's got to be something to be said for that. I don't know what that means, but I know that, you know, they both did better than me. So that's all I know about
that. Yeah, and didn't your wife pick based off of...
I don't know. Hey,
jersey color.
Junkyard Babe just stuck her head in the studio. Hey, babe, come in here. No, she doesn't do that.
I could have swore you said she picked North Carolina to win because she liked their jerseys.
Hey, come in here. See if I can get her to come in here. Come in here. T-Mac has a question. Come on over here on this side to where the microphone is.
I have a question.
You do. You just asked a question. You said, did she pick last year her teams based on their uniform colors? All right, come on over here. T-Mac wants to know, you got to get close to this mic. T-Mac wants to know, did you pick your teams? What was your strategy? Did you use uniform colors to determine who you liked in this contest?
No, I have no idea what color their uniforms are.
Well, what was your determining factor? Because we need your strategy because we're going to spend 3 days breaking this thing down. So we want your strategy so that we can win like you and Shrek did last time. Come on over here.
I think they call it dumb luck.
Dumb luck is what she said, T-Mac.
It's a bold strategy. I'm going to see
it's
how
it's a bold strategy. Dumb luck. Well, I handed her a bracket. I don't know if she's going to make it out. I handed her one, but she's like, I think she wants to do the mic drop from last year's. You know what I mean? She's like, you know, what's the point? You know, I won last year. All I could do was go down now. So, you know, why do I want to do that?
That's pretty good, though. Go down as a legend, you know, instead of trying to defend and the chance of, you know, your legacy dropping, just walk out a legend. I like that.
Create a bracket now. I'm on the Ump's page, but I don't see me listed. Would I be listed? Should I see me listed? I didn't do anything. All I did was click on the Ump page. I mean, I clicked on the link and it took me right to the page. But I don't know what happened last year that it had to be that way that you had to put me in.
No, it wasn't even last year. It was the football bowl pick'em. So I had to log in and make sure you got put in.
Right, because I'm gonna hit create bracket now. Oh, select the team name for your bracket. Okay, so let me select the team name for my bracket. How about Big Dogs? Big Dogs. Should I put Z here? I'm just so cool. I made Z at the end of dogs instead of S.
Oh.
How about that?
Huh? No.
How about me? Create a bracket. Okay. An Acura commercial. Click to enter to sweepstakes. I don't want to be in that sweepstakes. Continue. I don't know if I'm in this thing or not. Oh, I'm there. There I am. Look at that. There's my name right there. How cool is that? I'm in. I didn't need no help. I don't need no stinking help. I'm in. That's a good job by
you. It took me literally 3 seconds to just join this group just now.
Well, you had to change. You had to make your name, didn't you? What'd you make your name?
I already did that. Tony Matt.
Well, I didn't know. I didn't know. I mean, I didn't want to click on something wrong.
I see it down there. Big dogs with a Z. I'm
in there with the Z. It's
dogs.
Like big dogs with the Z.
Get off my lawn.
I liked when we made them out on paper. You know, we used to have paper that was the size of your front lawn. I mean, we'd have like a bracket that was the size. It was like a size of a small TV. You know what I mean? We had a bracket that was, it was like 19 inches, whatever was the biggest piece of paper we could put through the copier at the radio station. You know what I mean? It was like 19. It was like, how big is that? It was like 14 or 15 inches by maybe, no, I think we might have went to Kinko's or Stinko's or someplace and made copies there or something like that. And we'd make them out on paper. This is a true story. This is like when I was at the ump in the beginning years, in the early years when I was at the ump. And we'd make them out on paper, and we'd get like hundreds of these things. We would take them around and drop them off at sports bars. And people would get them there, and then we'd go and pick them all up at the sports bars. And then somehow I would end up with them, or I and Peralt and Schwartzman would each take like 100 of them, you know what I mean? And then we would go home, and we'd watch the tournament, and we would grade every one by hand, T-Mac, with a highlighter. We just, there's win, that's a win, that's a win, that's a win, that's a win. And it was easier because all the games were on one side of the bracket or the other side of the bracket on that particular day because they didn't have this stupid pod system that they just started in the last couple of years. Yeesh. Well, where's Tony Mac? Let me see where you are.
I'm in there. I'm looking at me right now, big dog.
Wait, let me refresh.
I'm almost like dead middle, like dead center of this deal.
Why would you be in dead middle and me be all the way at the bottom?
I don't know.
And what's the name? Oh, there it is. Tony Mac, Mr. Macbeth. Okay.
That's right.
All right, you're in. All right, it's a good job by you. All right, let's get a break. When we return, Greg Wyshynski's in with an early puck update for this week because, you know, we just ran out of time. We'll be back with that right after this on 730, 1039 AM.
Sports Radio 730 and 1039. The UMP. WUMP.
The Final Lap with Carrie Murphy is on.
Our Wednesday driver spotlight features Eric Almirola. He drives the number 10 car for Stewart Haas Racing, a brand new ride for him. And I asked him how that whole deal came about with Tony Stewart.
So we've talked about it for a long time. Tony and I have been friends since I moved to North Carolina and started racing a late model for Joe Gibbs Racing. And we've built that friendship over the years. And so for the last, honestly, 3 or 4 years, we've talked about, trying to figure out a way to get me over there to Stewart Haas Racing. He's always expressed interest in wanting me to come over. And when he retired and got out of the 14 car, the timing wasn't right and things just didn't work out. This just happened to be perfect. There was an opportunity there with Danica retiring, and they they approached me and wanted me to come over and drive the 10 car, and obviously I was really excited about the opportunity, and so everything just kind of fell into place. All things lined up, and I'm a lucky man. I feel very blessed and fortunate to be over there at Stewart Haas Racing. They've got great people, great equipment. The cars are fast, and we're off to a good start this year so far, and I'm having a lot of fun.
And Eric racks up yet another strong run this past weekend at Phoenix. He finished 7th. You are on the final lap.
Want to refresh your wardrobe and home? Get to Kohl's Friends and Family Sale and take an extra 20% off with promo code FRIEND. With an extra 20% off, LC Lauren Conrad floral tops are just $23.99, Jumping Beans tees are only $6.40, and a KitchenAid Artisan Stand Mixer is $299.99. And you'll get $60 Kohl's Cash. A spring refresh for the family, Kohl's Cash for you, right now at Kohl's. Select styles. Offers valid March 14th through 18th. Some exclusions apply. See store or kohls.com for details.
Okay, let's clear a few things up about Secret clinical strength antiperspirant. Number one, it's not actually a secret. You can tell anyone about it. Two, it's clinically strong, which just means it's good at preventing sweat. Like, twice as good as regular antiperspirant. Three, strength is a cool word. You don't really see it a ton on women's deodorant packaging, so we were like, sure, let's shake things up. Four, sweating is the worst. Four and a half, not sweating is great. So you should buy Secret clinical strength antiperspirant.
Earnings vary based on your effort.
Do you want to learn how to make money flipping houses right here in Huntsville and Florence? If so, we have an amazing opportunity for you. We're looking for a small group of motivated individuals to join our real estate investing team. You'll learn our simple three-step system for flipping homes right here in the local area. This is Than Merrill, star of A&E's hit TV show Flip This House. My team and I are looking for a handful of people in the Huntsville and Florence area who want to learn how to make money flipping houses in your spare time using other people's money. Huntsville and Florence are perfect markets for my system, and next week I'm holding a free two-hour educational workshop where you will learn how to make money flipping homes and how to build long-term wealth with income properties.
To get two free tickets to Than's workshop, call 1-800-300-2330. Seating is extremely limited. Call in the next 10 minutes and you'll also reserve a free copy of Than's Money for Deals Guide. That's 1-800-300-2330. That's 1-800-300-2330.
I'm having that 6:59 feeling again.
What?
You know, that mini panic attack right before the workday starts when you're sure you've forgotten something?
Nope, that's my favorite time of day. I work with Cintas, so I always know we're ready for the workday. They handle our uniforms, fire extinguishers, first aid, safety training, floor mats, and restroom supplies.
I think I need to call Cintas.
They might just make a morning person out of you.
Oh, I'm ready!
Learn how Cintas can help you get ready for the workday. Visit Cintas.com.
If you ever want to buy a house or a car, you're going to want to know your credit score. If there's a mistake on your credit report, you could pay more in interest rates and fees than you have to. Where can you go online to quickly get your credit score and credit report for free? CreditKarma.com/radio. Check it whenever you like. It's free and there's no catch. Don't get an unwanted surprise about your credit score. Go to CreditKarma.com/radio. That's CreditKarma.com/radio.
Weather sponsored by Kubota. Ever wonder what's behind those orange tractors? Kubota offers efficient engineering from ag to construction, from zero-turn mowers to RTVs. Find a dealer at GoKubota.com.
The sky mostly fair tonight with a freeze likely. We'll forecast a low in the low 30s at 31. For tomorrow, a sunny and cool day, the high 52. Wednesday, sunny weather continues. We start the day down in the upper 20s. The high Wednesday afternoon in the upper 40s at 49. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
Now back to the big dog. This show is rough.
Welcome back, Tom Abraham Show. In non-NCAA tournament talk, there was Tiger Woods, right? Man, was that fun to watch at the Valspar this past weekend. And he almost closed that deal. I mean, he almost got that deal done. And now he's going to play again this weekend at the Arnold Palmer at Bay Hill, where he has won 8 times. So, you know, when you look at that, that's going to be something really interesting. But kudos to Paul Casey, who finished strong, the Englishman, only winning his second tournament on U.S. soil. That kind of shocked me when that happened. I was very surprised about that. All right, usually we talk to Greg Wyshynski later on in the week. but we're unable to do that this week because of the basketball tournament. So I wanted to snag him, just get a couple of more hockey thoughts in here at the beginning of this upcoming week. And he joins us now on the Woody Anderson Ford VIP hotline. Greg, welcome in. How are you, man?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Everybody, regardless of the sport that is your main sport, everybody makes a bracket out, right? I mean, are you a bracket guy? Will you make a bracket out just whether you put it in a contest or not?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. I mean, not only, you know, I mean, in full disclosure, I went to the University of Maryland, so I have a certain affinity for college basketball, maybe more so than college football because my team has never exactly been stellar at one and pretty good at the other. But, you know, for the purposes of hanging out with some folks and watching the games on Friday, for example, at a bar, I'll definitely be making out a bracket. And I also like to take part in a survivor pool each year to see if I can, figure out exactly the path to victory there. So it's a fun deal. It's a cool deal. And I wish that there is some way that hockey could ever capture the magic that is the college basketball tournament experience.
Yeah, but they I don't think anybody can in the bracket, you know, especially like with the NBA, but it's harder. The NBA reseeds. What I like about hockey is we do get a bracket, and that's the next closest thing. I mean, we have a pretty good turnout even here in the Dirty South. We do the Stanley Cup bracket contest, and we have a lot of fun with it. And because they don't reseed, I think you get a little bit of extra juice off of that. I really like that part of what they did with the playoffs.
I think the current playoff format has a number of issues, let's say that. But, one of the reasons why they went to it was to develop this bracket so people could follow it along. I think the issue is that the National Hockey League, for whatever reason, hasn't fully embraced the gambling aesthetic when it comes to this bracket. And by that I mean, you know, If you're following March Madness, there's a billion places you can go and find celebrity brackets, and you know you have the president filling out one and all this other stuff.
Right.
In hockey, they don't seem to do that, and I think that if you're ever going to really kind of make this playoff format into something where, like for example, you could go around and have an office pool or something like that, pick the winners and pick the number of games or whatever. Like, you've got to be able to kind of embrace that a bit more than the NHL does, and I think it sort of speaks to an overall, sort of hesitation that they have towards embracing gambling at a point where gambling has become the lifeblood of sports, especially in this country.
Well, and it's funny that you say that because it was hockey, you know, that was the first one that moved into Las Vegas. So you would think with the Vegas connection, you know, there would be, you know, a lot of that kind of conversation going on because you know that, you know, now with a team in Vegas, there's got to be more action than ever in Vegas, legal action on hockey.
Well, I mean, but that's the thing. Remember that when they first got the team in Vegas, even before we realized that Bill Foley, the owner there, was going to just name it after the Army, no matter what trademark infringements he occurs, they ran away from the idea that the team was going to be named for anything involving gambling, the Jacks or the Aces or any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And you also have the NHL having filed on behalf of those fighting the legalization of sports gambling in New Jersey right now, which is, you know, a thing that's in front of the Supreme Court. So they've been kind of against it, and I've never understood it, to be honest with you. I mean, like, to me, the most popular sports in this country are the ones you can wager on. The most popular events in this country, be it the Super Bowl or March Madness, are the ones that you can wager on. And the bottom line, in my experience, has been going to Vegas a few times this year to cover the Golden Knights. It's added this incredible level of fun for the folks that attend these games to be able to walk across the street to what used to be the Monte Carlo, lay money on the game, and then go watch the game across the street at the arena. And to me, you know, that's an aspect of this whole hockey thing that really hasn't been tapped yet. And if you listen to guys like Ted Leonsis, the Capitals owner, he's one of these guys that says, hey, it's all going towards gambling. It's all going towards the ease of betting when you're at a game, and hockey's got to get on board with it.
Yeah, I don't know how they do it in the rest of the world, like in England with the Premiership and so on and so forth. Obviously, you know, betting is legal there and they bet on everything, but I don't think they have a betting window at the game. You know what I mean? I don't think when you go there, you can go. Maybe they do. Maybe they have a kiosk right at the stadium, because you would think that at some point in time at the T-Mobile Arena that you could go in, you know, get your program here, get your bet down here, you know, and you make your bet right there.
I got a piece coming out in the ESPN the magazine, hopefully next issue, maybe a couple issues from now, that kind of deals with the future of hockey and the future of hockey fandom and that kind of thing. And, you know, one of the ideas that I had was, you know, the ease with which we now do everything on our mobile devices, you know, gambling's one of the things that we do. Could you imagine if we got to a point where the odds makers were able to generate the odds and we were able to lay money on things that happen within a game? Because to me, that's the future. You know, to sit at a game with your mobile device in a span of 20, 25 seconds, you could literally bet on a play that's about to happen in front of your face, like on the ice. Wouldn't that be incredible?
I think they have that in football. I mean, you might want to double check that, but I think they do have something like that in football where you could be, you know, there's a lot of in-game betting that takes place, you know, where at some of those offshore sites where you can, you know, make bets on, you know, by quarter or by period, you know, what's going to happen and yards, you know, who's going to.
I'm going even more specific. I'm talking about a team's going on the power play. You bet on that power play. Like literally within like a minute, from the time the dude takes the penalty, goes to the box to the face-off on that power play, you're in the arena and you're pressing a button and you're betting, you know, $10 or whatever on the success or failure on that power play based on the odds that are generated instantaneously by the odds makers. How cool would that be?
It would be very, very cool. And I'm a guy, you know, I'm a sports betting guy. I mean, I have been around it my whole life, to be honest with you. And I think that it, you know, the biggest fear is always it's got to be responsible. And when they do get around to legalized sports betting all the way across the board, the key will be no margins. Even if they think that a guy's got that ability, it should be something where you're betting what you can afford to put on deposit. So, so as long as it's something where, okay, I've put $100 on deposit for this game tonight and it's in there and now you're playing that money, that's one thing. I just, the fear always is, and I always find it comical that, you know, the snowflakes will worry about, you know, what we're doing to our society. But yeah, you can go buy whiskey and you could go do this and other things that are certainly not great for you. But I mean, you know, I think that would be the thing is that to make sure that you're only placing bets so that you don't find yourself that you get to the end of the week, like in the old days, you got to go see Louie and you got to give him the money that you were going to use to feed your family. You know what I mean? That kind of deal.
Yeah, I agree. And there obviously has to be some level of regulation.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, dude, it's the same thing as we always talk about with other things that are currently illegal that probably should be legal in more than a few states, which is that if people are doing it anyway, you know, then regulate it and grab that tax money off of it and fix the roads and stuff. Like it's just sort of nonsensical for us as a society to put our heads in the sand and make pretend that this stuff isn't happening anyway. And if it is happening, there's ways to regulate it, make it more widespread. And at the end of the day, everybody wins.
Yeah. Well, look, Greg, I'm a guy who, when I was a little kid, I'm talking about 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, back in the neighborhood that I used to hang around in, we would literally go around and we would pick up these bags that had numbers in them and they were the numbers for that day's picks. And we would take those down to the Carter Street bar and give them to the guys, the wise guys that were down in there. And they would give us $1.50 for bringing the bag to them. and then they would pick a number out of there. And then some, you know, grandmother over on Third Street would win the $50 prize for that day. We call that the lottery now. You know what I mean? It used to be like, the numbers racket. Now it's the way we go to send our kids to school. It's the lottery. So, you know, I mean, it's, you know, what we, you know, where do moral police go on stuff like this is kind of nuts.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, you know, like you said, I guess it's all how you're raised. I mean, when I was a kid, my dad would bring home the bookie slips from his job in the city.
Oh, sure.
And I used to love the thing where you would, you know, it was always that bet you could make where if you picked like 20 out of 20 college football games, you win like 10,000 to 1 odds or some crazy thing like that. I always used to love to do that. You know, my dad would take my $2 bet as a kid. And then, I'd pick 20 out of 20. You know, can Kansas beat Appalachian State by 50 points? You know, that kind of thing. And then, you get a taste for it early. And, you know, now I go play the horses every summer.
Yeah, the odds on those slips are total ripoffs. I mean, they're terrible odds.
Right.
I mean, the odds that you would get in Vegas are a hell of a lot better than the odds that you would get for a 4-timer or a 5-timer or a 6-timer on those slips. They pay garbage compared to what they should be playing. Greg Wyshynski joining us here in our BetUS segment of the Tom Abraham Show today. All right. there are some big games going on certainly tonight that could affect what's going on in this playoff run. I like that, but I got to ask you, I watched both games, the Chicago-Boston, Boston-Chicago series over the weekend, because it's, first of all, it's hockey eye candy, all right? It's just the Blackhawks and the Bruins on the ice together is hockey eye candy. It's just one of those things that you just can't stop watching, I believe. They just look like what hockey should look like on the ice. But the Brad Marchand deal on Saturday, and then he doesn't go on Sunday with the upper body injury that he got from that hit with what was it, Duclin, or I forget what the guy's name is, not it, the guy that he
Duclair.
Hit.
Duclair,
the hit on Duclair. I mean, does he really have an upper body injury, or did they just say, okay, look, we really don't want this guy to get pounded on Sunday in Chicago, we'll just go ahead and take him out. Duclair is out anyway, we'll take him out for an upper body injury. I didn't even know that he got hurt on Saturday on that play.
The Blackhawks flu theory is an interesting one. I mean, I think Marchand's a guy who, you know, like a lot of the sort of pest type players, although, you know, he kind of has transcended the label with the way that he's he can put the puck in the net. I mean, he's without question one of the elite goal scorers in the league right now. I think he's one of these guys that can see his way out of trouble. I mean, when guys are coming after him, I think he's got the that sixth sense that guys that are always getting away with stuff seem to have. To avoid the big hit or avoid the comeuppance. I'm not sure if it was sort of the wink, wink, nudge, nudge, let's protect this guy flu. But that hit was kind of weird, man. Like, you know, it's one of those deals where you see it in real time and you're like, did he just deliver a flying elbow to this dude? Then you watch it on the replay, and I guess you can give him the benefit of the doubt. It's just, you know, he's one of these guys that, for whatever reason, ends up in these bizarre situations with these plays that are kind of accidental, but also sort of look like they should be on purpose, and that was another one of those examples.
Do these guys need to be fine down a curve like that? I mean, can you look at it for just what it is as opposed to, oh, it's Brad Marchand, so there must be something there? Because, you know, he's now getting suspended and fined all the time. I mean, he's not going to get anything off of that. I almost thought that it was a preemptive strike by the Bruins to take him out of the game on Sunday, but you know, do guys earn that reputation to where it really should be, or does the NHL try to look at these things with clean eyes every time?
No, I think that they've earned their reputations, and you know, for the sheer point that there are just certain guys in the league that know how to, you know, mask these things or know how to get cheap with their guys and have it be maybe obscured from the referee, but then when you watch it on replay, you know exactly what happened. And talking to the player safety guys through the years, it's something they're cognizant of. And, you know, a guy like Marchand has been undoubtedly warned a billion times about what he does, along with the occasional supplemental discipline. But, you know, I know what you're saying. You don't want it to be a situation where a guy with a quote-unquote clean record gets off while a repeat offender, you know, gets tagged just because one's got a rep and the other one doesn't. And that's why I thought, but remember, if you go back a few months of the season when they suspended Andrew Pogliano from the Ducks, broke that consecutive game streak. That's why I lauded the player safety guys, because that's exactly what they need to do. They have to do this thing without it simply just being reputation based. If you're a quote unquote clean player and you knock a guy in the head in an era where we're all cognizant of concussions and the league's facing a giant lawsuit, you got to ding the quote unquote clean player just like you would Brad Marchand.
Yeah. Finishing out the Bruins, 15 games left. I think they only have 4 home games left, and they only have, you know, I mean, they're just playing a ton of hockey over the next few weeks to get to the finish line. Do they hold that spot, or do you think? Or do you think that they can get run down by Toronto, which is, you know, the Toronto's 6 points back, I think, something like that, 7 points back maybe. But Boston has a couple of games in hand on them. Do you look for them to hold their position, even with all of these road games and all of these, you know, back-to-backs and stuff coming up to finish the season?
Yeah, I do. I think they hold the position just because of the spread that they have right now with it. But, you know, the bigger issue right now is kind of what we touched on earlier, which is the playoff format. You know, these are two teams, at the end of the day, there's a good chance the Bruins and the Leafs, points-wise, could end up being the second and third best teams in the conference just because the rest of the teams in that division are so underwhelming. They've been able to bank a bunch of points against them. So you might be looking at Tampa, Boston, and the Leafs being the top three teams in the conference, and yet Boston and the Leafs are going to have to play each other in the first round. One of those teams, despite being you know, incredible and being demonstrably better than some of the teams in the Metropolitan Division, one of those teams will be going home, and that's why this playoff format for the NHL is getting a good, hard look from a lot of people as to whether or not it's an equitable way to go about these things.
Yeah, just to drive that point home, Boston has 10 more points than Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh leads the Metropolitan Division. Boston has three games in hand on Pittsburgh and 10 more points. Pittsburgh, at this point in time, will win the Metropolitan with Washington right on their tail and Philadelphia in there as well, but all those teams in the low 80s compared to what's going on in the Atlantic. And you're talking about a couple of wild cards that are in the 70s.
Yeah, and it's important to remember that one of the reasons why the NHL changed the playoff format from the 1-8 to this wild card divisional thing was to try to create these first-round matchups between rival teams. And, yeah, we're getting it with Boston and Toronto, no doubt. Like, in that instance, it's worked nicely. We should maybe get it also with potentially the Golden Knights and the Kings could play each other potentially, and then we could also have a Winnipeg-Minnesota series, which is a rivalry a lot of us older folks really enjoyed back in the day.
Right.
But then you're also going to have like your Tampa versus Columbus series, which nobody cares about. So, like, when the basic function of why they changed the playoff format doesn't seem to be that effective this season or in other seasons, it makes you wonder why they changed it in the first place.
I don't mind Boston, Toronto, but I just don't want it in the first round. You know, Boston and Toronto could be for the Eastern Conference final. You know what I mean? I don't know if I want to see it in the first round. No, you know, no disrespect to Tampa Bay, but, you know, that's when it really becomes an issue when you look at it that way and you say, okay, you know, why are these teams playing now? They should be playing, you know, in 2 or 3 weeks from now.
Right, exactly. And one of the teams that's really driving this conversation in the last year or two are the Washington Capitals, who, you know, frankly feel like were it not for the fact that they have to go through Pittsburgh every second round that they play in, seemingly, they might have a bit more postseason success. And I don't necessarily know if I agree or disagree with that, but I do think that it's something worth looking at as to whether or not it's an equitable thing for these teams who do so well in the regular season and then have to not get the benefit of the reseed or playing a lower seed because of it.
Yeah, I'm gonna call BS on that for Washington. They're one of the all-time, in all sports, not just hockey. They're one of the all-time playoff tanks in all sports is the Washington Capitals, okay? I mean, it's just the way it is. All right, Greg, good luck with your bracket, and we'll catch up with you the Thursday following next weekend, and I appreciate you jumping in early this week.
You got it, bud. Thanks.
All right, man. Thank you. Greg Wyshynski, talking some puck. All right, we've cleared the decks. We'll come back, wrap up this hour, and then come back with a fresh 5 o'clock. No more dog after dark. There is no more dog after dark. I mean, it's going to be light right through the end of the show. But we'll have open lines at the top of the hour on 730-1039 AM.
Sports Radio. The Ump. Because we care.
From the University of Alabama, this is Crimson Tide Today. It's a daily update on Bama sports, and it's brought to you by AFS, Foundation and Waterproofing Specialist. Your hometown pros, we support everything you love. Hello, everybody. I'm Chris Stewart. The University of Alabama men's basketball team is returning to the NCAA tournament for the first time since 2012, and for the first time under head coach Avery Johnson. The Crimson Tide will face Virginia Tech on Thursday, March 15th, in Pittsburgh. The Tide earned the number 9 seed in the East region as an at-large selection, while the Hokies, who were also chosen at-large, earned the number 8 seed. The two teams will tip off at 8:20 Central on TNT. We'll have radio coverage as well on the Crimson Tide Sports Network. The tournament appearance is the Tide's 20th in program history, while Virginia Tech is making its 10th appearance overall and its second in as many seasons. The winner of that matchup will advance to face the winner of the matchup between top-seeded Villanova and number 16 seed, either LIU Brooklyn or Radford. That matchup would take place on Saturday, March 17th. I'll have more in a moment.
There's no mistaking the signature crimson and white of Alabama football. From flags flying to the clothes we wear, our colors define our loyalty, our support, and who is in the house. And there's no mistaking when AFS foundation and waterproofing specialists are in your house. AFS techs arrive in signature-wrapped trucks and proudly wear the AFS insignia, symbolizing our support to tackle foundation, crawl space, or waterproofing issues. For a free estimate, go to AFSrepair.com.
Avery Johnson will be among the guests tonight on Hey Coach as it starts at 6 o'clock from Tuscaloosa on many of these same CTSN affiliate stations. That's your Bama Update, Crimson Tide Today, brought to you by AFS, is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network.
Earnings vary based on your effort.
Do you want to learn how to make money flipping houses right here in Huntsville and Florence? If so, we have an amazing opportunity for you. We're looking for a small group of motivated individuals to join our real estate investing team. You'll learn our simple three-step system for flipping homes right here in the local area. This is Than Merrill, star of A&E's hit TV show Flip This House. My team and I are looking for a handful of people in the Huntsville and Florence area who want to learn how to make money flipping houses in your spare time using other people's money. Huntsville and Florence are perfect markets for my system, and next week I'm holding a free two-hour educational workshop where you will learn how to make money flipping homes and how to build long-term wealth with income properties.
To get two free tickets to Than's workshop, call 1-800-300-2330. Seating is extremely limited. Call in the next 10 minutes and you'll also reserve a free copy of Than's Money for Deals Guide. That's 1-800-300-2330. That's 1-800-300-2330.
If you ever want to buy a house or a car, you're going to want to know your credit score. If there's a mistake on your credit report, you could pay more in interest rates and fees than you have to. Where can you go online to quickly get your credit score and credit report for free? CreditKarma.com/radio. Check it whenever you like. It's free and there's no catch. Don't get an unwanted surprise about your credit score. Go to CreditKarma.com/radio. That's CreditKarma.com/radio.
I'm having that 6:59 feeling again.
What?
You know, that mini panic attack right before the workday starts when you're sure you've forgotten something?
Nope, that's my favorite time of day. I work with Cintas, so I always know we're ready for the workday. They handle our uniforms, fire extinguishers, first aid, safety training, floor mats, and restroom supplies.
I think I need to call Cintas.
They might just make a morning person out of you.
Oh, I'm ready!
Learn how Cintas can help you get ready for the workday. Visit Cintas.com.
Here's what you'll hear tonight on The Ump.
It's Hey Coach, where you'll get the inside scoop on Alabama athletics from football, basketball, and baseball all the way to gymnastics and softball. Coverage starts at 6 p.m. all right here on The Ump.
Weather sponsored by Kubota. Ever wonder what's behind those orange tractors? Kubota offers efficient engineering from ag to construction, from zero-turn mowers to RTVs. Find a dealer at gokubota.com.
The sky mostly fair tonight with a freeze likely. We'll forecast a low in the low 30s at 31. For tomorrow, a sunny and cool day, the high 52. Wednesday, sunny weather continues. We start the day down in the upper 20s. The high Wednesday afternoon in the upper 40s at 49. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
Are you ready, Alabama? It's time to enter the doghouse.
We're going to be open lines at the top of the hour. And we're looking forward to that. So we would love to have you in at 866-485-9867. It's 866-485-9867. A question I asked early on in the show, we really didn't get to it, but I just want to throw it out there. You know, Auburn and Tennessee, co-champions in the regular season, co-regular season champions, whatever, however you want to say that, in this past season in basketball. Kentucky wins the tournament. Will you remember Kentucky as the champion? Do you remember Auburn, Tennessee? Auburn and Tennessee won the regular season championship and Kentucky won the tournament. The regular season seeds the tournament, but who wins the tournament? We never, ever talk about, I don't even know if it's a thing, the regular season champion in football. Whoever wins the championship game is the champion. of the SEC. Do you consider Kentucky or Auburn and Tennessee champions, or can you have those two different things? I don't know. If you want to weigh in on that, you can. Bracket thoughts. How many SEC teams get through to next weekend? One pundit at ESPN says none. I'm not buying that. I'm going with at least three. So we'll talk about some of this when we come back right here on 730-1039. Yeah.
Sports Radio 730-1039. The Ump.
Howdy, folks. I'm Colonel Sanders here to tell you about KFC's $5 fill-ups. Now, some people are saying that I'm just Reba McEntire and that KFC has paid me to be the Colonel. But if that were true, how would I know my $5 fill-ups are full of a lot of delicious food? How would I know that you can get a real meal with two pieces of Kentucky Fried Chicken, mashed potatoes and gravy, a biscuit, cookie, and a drink for just $5? It's not like I could just read it off a script designed to make you hungry. Or could I? KFC. It's finger-licking good.
At participating KFCs only. Prices may vary. Tax and substitutions.
You check things all the time, like your email every 10 seconds, or your ex's Instagram. But what about checking something as important as your credit? Well, Discover makes it quick, easy, and best of all, free. Discover is now offering FICO credit scores to everyone for free, even if you're not a customer. And checking your score won't hurt your credit. We call it the Discover Credit Scorecard. And once you know your score, you should check to see if your current credit card is the best fit for you. Check your credit. Compare your card. Go to discover.com/credit scorecard. Limitations apply.
Catholic Charities is committed to providing life's basic needs. We teach social independence and encourage our clients to want more for their lives and the lives of their families. We seek to break down the walls of division that keep our sisters and brothers excluded or rendered disposable by our society.
We thank you for bringing us all here today, letting these people understand how Catholic Charities runs and how important these people are to the people in the neighborhood. And we ask you to guide them, to protect them, and keep them here forever because this community needs them. And we ask you to bless every single person, whether they're here for help or they're an employee or a volunteer.
Visit www.catholiccharitiesusa.org to learn more.
Hello, I'm Hector Elizondo, Emmy Award-winning actor, and I want to talk to you about getting older. My body hurts, my joints ache, and sometimes I forget.
I forget that doing all your own scenes for a movie isn't always the best decision. Especially when you're galloping side saddle down a countryside road on a horse named Archibello, who seems to have only one speed, high. And pulling on his reins only seems to encourage him to go even faster. So, of course, my body hurts and my joints ache, but it's not because of my age. It's because I'm living my life. Oh, Archibello!
Don't let life pass you by. Take care of your brain health. It may just help you stay on top of your game.
As soon as this scene wraps, I'm going to kiss the ground, thank Archibello for his outstanding performance, feed him a carrot, and visit brainhealth.gov.
Find out how you can make the most of your brain as you age at brainhealth.gov.
Whether you're starting the day off right with a healthy breakfast or fueling before a workout, the foods you choose can make a real difference. March is National Nutrition Month. This year, the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics encourages everyone to go further with food. Planning meals and snacks in advance will add nutrients, save you money, and help reduce food waste. Learn more at eatright.org and follow hashtag National Nutrition Month. A public service message from the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics.
You listen when your body says, "I'm tired," or "I'm hungry." What if your body said something else might be wrong? Gynecologic cancers, cervical, ovarian, and uterine cancers have symptoms, so pay attention. If your body says something may be wrong, please listen. Learn the symptoms. Get the inside knowledge about gynecologic cancers. A message from HHS and CDC's Inside Knowledge Campaign.
The thought of my sons growing up without me inspired me to quit smoking.
I talked to my doctors, and then I threw away all my cigarettes, ashtrays, and lighters.
I started exercising instead of smoking.
Getting support from friends online kept me on track.
Staying away from alcohol when I was first quitting was key.
Instead of smoking after I ate, I'd get up and take a walk.
I missed having a cigarette in my hand, so I'd hold a pen or a straw, anything.
Until I knew I wouldn't give in to temptation, I spent more time with my friends who didn't smoke.
I went to places that were smoke-free.
I didn't stay quit the very first time I tried.
I kept on trying, and I learned something each time.
Do whatever it takes.
No matter how many...
WUMP Madison, W28OBA Madison Huntsville, a Cumulus station. Sports Radio 730 and 103.9. The...